Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about future news headlines, eschatological news. The next thing on the calendar of God is the rapture of the church. We're talking about what's taking place with the pandemic and the coronavirus and the deadly effect that it's having on the world. The preliminaries we've talked about thus far is the monologue and the introduction to the real issues that we're talking about today. It deals with those things that are happening in America and around the globe, with the death and the despair and the hysteria and the panic as a result of the coronavirus. But that's nothing in comparison to what's going to take place in the future. When, as I said before the top of the hour news, millions missing. Can you imagine that headline? Millions missing. But then, ladies and gentlemen, after the millions missing headline, and that's because the Christians will be snatched out, suddenly sees raptured. Take your Bible and look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18 in your leisure. Read that, and then ask yourself the question, am I ready? Am I ready? Have I said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord? I don't know of anything today that's any more important than to make sure that you're ready to be with the Lord. I've said many times I don't see how a person faces a new day unless he's ready to meet the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, you can call in 831-0917, 831-0917, and join this dialogue and discussion at any point in time that you'd like to. But the major shocking future headline news after the millions missing headline news, because immediately after the rapture of the church, ladies and gentlemen, the Antichrist steps on the scene, and then doom and devastation and destruction and darkness and dearth and disease and everything that you can think of in the horrific sense will unfurl, will be the scene and the headline news on a global basis. This is what theologians call the four horsemen of the apocalypse. It's found, ladies and gentlemen, in the 8th chapter of the book of Revelation. Dr. Phelps, read for us Revelation chapter 8, verse 7, and let's start talking about, this is in the what's called the trumpet judgment. Ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. Let me give you a little eschatological thumbnail sketch. After the rapture of the church, there will be what's called the apocalypse that will take place, the tribulation, the 7 years of tribulation. And it starts out with the dearth and the destruction and the entering in on the scene of the Antichrist. You get to the 6th chapter and following in the book of the Revelation, the 8th chapter in particular, you find the seven trumpet judgment, chapter 8 through chapter 11, the seven trumpets. And each trumpet, each time the trumpet blows, the seven angels standing before the throne of the Lord God, found in Revelation chapter 1, verse 4, the seven beings. They're standing there waiting with the trumpets. They're standing there waiting with the bowls of wrath, W-R-A-T-H. It's the word in the Greek text, thumos, T-H-U-M-O-S. And the word thumos means the white, hot anger of God. God's not angry with the Christian. God's not angry with you. He's not angry with me. His wrath has already been poured out upon Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. So therefore, we have the assurance, Revelation 3:10 says, that we're going to be kept out from the wrath to come. We have that assurance in the Word of God that the Christian will not be in the tribulation. But our loved ones that's lost, our friends and family and neighbors that's lost, will be. And ladies and gentlemen, it's a horrific scene when you see what's taking place and how that unfurls. Dr. Phelps, read for us in chapter 8, verse 7 of Revelation.
The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth. And the third part of trees was burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up.
Ladies and gentlemen, can you imagine, Dr. Phelps, can you imagine? I don't know that our listeners have even considered the potentiality of what's going to happen with that. And this is after the Antichrist steps on the scene. We'll go back to that in a moment in the 6th chapter of Revelation. When the Antichrist steps on the scene, God is going to then bring about his wrath upon a world that said no to Jesus Christ. And I'm on page 88 in my book, The Panorama of Prophecy, and I'm simply excerpting parts from it for your edification today. It's 151 pages. It covers all of the eschatological events from the rapture of the church to the return of Christ and his rule and reign for 1,000 years and then throughout eternity. I commend it to you. It's good reading, and it should cause every Christian to understand the need to be saved and to get others saved also. But ladies and gentlemen, in this text it talks about the angel sounded the trumpet, there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. Dr. Phelps, can I don't know that we can, our mind can even conceive that, because hail, in fact, and you look at some of the text in the Revelation text, Dr. Phelps, we find that hailstones will fall as much as 100 pounds each. And God is doing it to get the attention of humanity on earth, that man might repent. But even when that happens, Dr. Phelps, as I understand the scripture, man refuses to repent and will simply shake his fist at God. What is the purpose, Dr. Phelps, of God pouring out his wrath on a world? Is it because of just simply his anger, or is he warning man to do something? What about repentance?
We find that the scriptures speak to us in the book of the Revelation of the lack of repentance. And it's there to let us know this great truth, that God wants people to turn to him. When we say repent, we mean a change of mind that affects our behavior toward God and our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. God wants us to turn to him, look to him, and rely upon him for the needs that we have. So we believe that it's important that we then turn our attention toward God even at this time today.
Yes, I believe that incrementally, if I can use that term, Dr. Phelps, and I believe it fits, incrementally, God is saying, repent, repent, repent. He is trying to bring about repentance in the hearts and the lives of people. In fact, I'm watching as the coronavirus expands and the pandemic is bringing about hysteria and panic. More and more people today, Dr. Phelps, are saying, pray for me, I'm praying for you, or pray for us. And I believe that is vital and necessary. But if we look at the text that you just read, literally, it talks about with that first trumpet sound, it's God's God having the unfurling, unveiling, just as prior to the seven trumpets, there are seven seals. Each seal is open. It presents devastation, but the devastation enhances, increases, and expands across the globe with God's hand of judgment on a world that said no to Jesus Christ. When that first angel sounds and there's the followed that hail and fire and mingle with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees were burned up. Now, Dr. Phelps, I don't believe it's possible for the average mind to grasp the fact that this is not talking about a city. It's not talking about a state. It's not talking about America. It's not talking about a region. It's not speaking about a particular portion of the world, but it's on a global basis. Yes. Global basis. Dr. Phelps, where I call it the soil is scorched, where literally God sends the fire and the hail upon the earth, and a third part of the trees were burnt up. All ALL, green grass, was burnt up.
Can you imagine the need for masks at that time?
Yes.
With all of the smoke that's in the whole of the world, everywhere, not just in a local area like we sometimes have here in Florida when we have forest fire.
Right.
Sometimes you have an area where there's smoke and you can smell that. But this will be global.
Global. Global. No running from it. No getting away from it. No city to flee to. No planes to get on and avoid it. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about future headlines that will take place. And that headline will be the whole earth scorched on fire. It will make the fires in California look like child's play. It'll make the fires in California look like a picnic. And then, Dr. Phelps, read for us verse 8 in that chapter, in chapter 8 of Revelation.
Chapter 8, verse 11.
Verse 8.
And the second angel sounded, as it were a great mountain burning with fire, was cast into the sea. And a third part of the sea became blood.
Can you imagine? Became blood. That means it turns congealed, turns, wasn't it turned as blood, as a simile, but it literally turns, became blood. And when you say it became blood, it's talking about the color red, and it's talking about the fact that it's congealed. And so, ladies and gentlemen, when that takes place, there'll be no shipping. There'll be no shipping. There'll be no movement. And everything in the sea will die. Dead. Death. And that will cause absolute sheer panic for the pandemic. These things now, what we use today, and we're talking about the coronavirus being a pandemic, Dr. Phelps, that means it's global. So all of these issues that we're talking about, these things that we're seeing in the Revelation text, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about future headline news. That will be a pandemic news event. The soil is scorched. The sea is smitten. The sea is smitten. Can you imagine all that we get from the seas and the oceans around the world, Dr. Phelps? All of the fish, all of the products that we receive from the sea, all will be absolutely stopped, ceased, ended at one fell swoop. This is very, very significant because in that ninth verse, then it says, and the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. Death, ladies and gentlemen, on a rampant pandemic basis will take place. Dr. Phelps, can you imagine the headline news? Not only the earth is scorched, but the seas now are smitten, and there's no shipping, there's no life in the seas. All of this is taking place, ladies and gentlemen, back to back to back. And Dr. Phelps, again, we need to impress upon our listeners today that God is doing this not to hurt people, but so that people will look to him and repent.
Repent. And you, can you think of the fishing industry, how it's been, it'll be ruined, and the tourist industry will be stopped.
Destroyed.
And there'll be no place for people to move about by way of the sea.
That's right.
Shipping.
That's right.
It'll all be stopped. And that will stop all of the commerce relating to ocean travel.
Won't be any seafood dinners.
No seafood.
Repentance is needed is what we're talking about, I believe. And that's what God is doing, ladies and gentlemen, wanting us to repent. The second trumpet blows, the sea is smitten. Literally, it turns to blood. It is congealed. It has a rotting, decaying stench that's around the globe. Everything in the sea is destroyed. There's death and devastation over the entire world and all of the waters. And then, Dr. Phelps, read verses 11 and 12 in chapter 8 for us.
And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of water. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood. And many men died of the waters because they were made bitter.
Dr. Phelps, that is probably the most staggering thought that I can imagine. Right now, with the pandemic taking place and the panic, you can go into the stores and people are buying and hoarding bottled water. They're buying and hoarding water as though they're going to be in a bunker for 6 months. But this text, ladies and gentlemen, tells us that there will be a headline news that says the supply of fresh water has been smitten. There will be no potable drinking water. Why is that so? When the third trumpet sounds, ladies and gentlemen, the water supply is stricken, smitten. Something poisonous falls from the heaven. It's called wormwood, Dr. Phelps, according to the text. That means it's bitter, it's poisoning, and it will destroy all potable water. You will not be able to drink. I don't know, ladies and gentlemen, maybe I'm talking to you. I don't know. Maybe I'm talking to the person that said, I don't believe God's in control. I don't know. But I want us to understand God's in control. I want us to recognize, and want our listeners to recognize today, ladies and gentlemen, it was back in 2005, and I don't know what it's been since then. Back in 2005, all the nations around the world, and they're sending up the spaceships and the space satellites and so forth. I understand that back then, there was as many as 9,000 plus spacecrafts of some kind floating around in the atmosphere and the upper elevation of the skies, floating around up there, that one day will fall. And many of those, Dr. Phelps, I understand, have all kind of poisonous, nasty stuff on board that if it got into the water, would destroy the potable water in the world. Now, I don't know how that will take place. Don't know if that'll be the case. But the scripture says that a star, as it were, fell from heaven. upon the third part of the rivers, and upon the fountains of the water. Fountains of the water means literally upon the very source of potable water. And the name of the star is called Wormwood, bitterness. The part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. That means, Dr. Phelps, the waters will be poisoned. Anybody drinks it, they'll die.
Yes. And we won't be able to go and buy Zephyr Hills good tasting spring water. It will not be available.
That's right.
So it's going to be a time when people will drink whatever they can find, and it may be poisonous. It will be a time possibly like we're seeing today with the coronavirus.
Yes.
And many people die as a result of this event.
And again, the focus, Dr. Phelps, and I want to hammer on this for our people to understand, is to get people to repent.
Yes.
Those in the world at that time. Now, I won't be there. You won't be there. Say, folks, if you're listening to me, you'll not be there. You'll not. We will not be on this earth if we've said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord, because we will have been raptured out. But, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about what is going to take place with future tense, future headlines. Only God knows what is on some of these crafts that's out there today. America and other nations have launched all of these into space. The Bible doesn't say, but it says something falls from the skies, and it's poisonous, it's bitter. And when it falls, ladies and gentlemen, it will poison one-third of all the water on the face of the globe. It's just hypothetical on my part, but I believe the Bible is silent. We can't say, but it's just a possibility that one day some of those space junk spacecraft out there will fall and poison our water. And then, Dr. Phelps, in that 12th and 13th verse, if you'll read that for us, we'll talk about that, the fourth trumpet.
And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars. So as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels, which are yet to sound.
Ladies and gentlemen, what we're reading is a scripture right from the Word of God, and it sets the stage for the future headline news. And the headline news in this text will be that the sky has been stricken, smitten, the sky. The third part was darkened. Can you imagine, Dr. Phelps, and I, with the sea turning to blood? Can you imagine with all that is green on the face of the earth has been burned up, and the skies are filled with smoke, and there's darkness now on the face of the earth, and there's catastrophic event after catastrophic event taking place, and men are panic-stricken. This is the reason, ladies and gentlemen, in Luke chapter 21, verse 28, the Bible says, when you see these things coming about, men will look up, and we need to look up, lift up our heads, for our redemption draweth nigh. But in the previous verse, in verse 26 of chapter 21 of Luke, it says that men's hearts will be failing them when they see these things coming about. Dr. Phelps, again, I point to the fact that God wants us to repent as a nation, as a people, as a society, to repent. What is the response? How should we respond?
We should repent, and that means change your mind about the truth that God has given us in the Bible, not only about Jesus, but about sin. We should turn to God and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. If you've never been saved, the Bible teaches us that we can come to Jesus today. We can believe in our hearts that Christ died in our place, rose again from the dead, and now ever lives at the right hand of God, who is able to save those who come to him, seeing he ever lives to be there for our Savior and our great high priest. You can pray something like this: Lord, thank you for taking my punishment for my sins at the cross. I know that I could never be fit for heaven without you. So I invite you into my life to be my Lord and Savior. I pray with thanksgiving. Pray something like that and ask Jesus to come into your heart. One of the things that I said to my pastor last Sunday was this, that those in heaven, only those who are invited into heaven, will be those who have invited Jesus into their heart. So that is a wise reminder to you today, a wise, I believe, instruction from the Scriptures that you should turn to God from sin, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved.
Amen. Wise advice. And perhaps you're listening today, ladies and gentlemen, you have a question about that. You have a question about what we're saying, you'd like to ask that question. You can dial 831-0917, 831-0917. Very serious conversation today about the need to repent. Very serious conversation today about the future headline news after the rapture of the church. And that headline news of the rapture will be millions missing. But Dr. Phelps, going back to this text in Revelation 8, 12, and 13, and it talks about there, one-third of the sun, one-third of the moon, and one-third of the stars are darkened. Have you ever heard the term, and most of us have, that it seemed like time is so short that time is sped up? Well, ladies and gentlemen, at that time, it will. Because at that time, one-third of the 24-hour period of time, 8 hours, is reduced. No longer will there be 24-hour cycles of light and darkness. There will be a 16-hour cycle. Have you ever heard people say that, as I said a moment ago, that it seemed like time is flying? Well, it will be flying in that day. 16 hours rather than 24 hours in a day. That's pretty significant, I believe. It's significant in all that these things we see taking place and the events. Can you imagine during that time and it's speeding up horrific pain and persecution, difficulty, distress, devastation, and doom that ultimately shall fall upon humanity because the world that is alive and living that day, those that have said no to Jesus Christ, those that have not repented, will be faced with that horrific judgment of God. But Dr. Phelps will talk about another, and that is in the Revelation chapter 8, verses 11 and 12 that we just read. But in Revelation 9, verses 1 through 6, we see the fifth trumpet. We see the fifth trumpet, Revelation 9, 1 through 6. Read some of that.
And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. And to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit. There rose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened, a reason of the smoke in the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. And unto them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death, shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them.
That's a horrific thought, Dr. Phelps, because what we see in this text, ladies and gentlemen, if I can just briefly summarize it for the benefit of time, because it is so important. We see in this with the fifth trumpet, the fifth judgment trumpet blowing, and the judgment that God releases upon a Christ-rejecting society then, Dr. Phelps, we see demonic distress, as I call it. The hordes of demon creatures being horrible and terrific in their excruciating pain that will be tormenting men. Mankind is bitten by these scorpions, causing such pain that people will want to die, but God will not allow them to die. That's a strange but very factual thing, ladies and gentlemen, coming out of the Scripture. The Scripture says that those tormenting demonic beings will fly and bite and sting as scorpions, and they'll have the power, the authority, as the king over them, whose name is Satan himself, according to verse 11 and 12 in that same text, Dr. Phelps.
Yes.
They are demonically inspired varmints that will invade the whole world after the rapture of the church, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about a world that will be under the control, according to Revelation chapter 6, Revelation chapter 6, verse 1 and 2 in particular. We see the whole world that's under the demonic control of the Antichrist as he rides in, the Scripture says, rides in showing victory as he comes onto the stage in the world having victory. Dr. Phelps, read Revelation chapter 6, verse 1 and 2 in particular.
And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals. Now, the word Lamb is referring to our Savior.
Yes.
And I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder. One of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." And I saw, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer.
What is taking place in that text, Dr. Phelps, is literally, according to the scripture, it's where the Antichrist rides in, and he is showing that he is in control, in total authority, and has the authority to carry it out, carrying out what he would have to be done. He's riding on a horse. He's wearing a crown. It's a diadem. The rider riding with that, if you please, showing sign of authority and power and control. He will be the one that will bring ultimate destruction. And verse 3 and 4, read that, Dr. Phelps.
And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, "Come and see." And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth.
And that's exactly what the Antichrist will do, is take peace from the earth. This rider, we call it the four horsemen of the apocalypse when you study it in a theological sense. The first rider coming in is the Antichrist. He's coming in as a peacemaker, but he is one that will absolutely bring absolute horrific destruction across the globe. But here in that third and fourth verse, the rider of the red horse symbolizing violence and destruction, we see that second horse rider is to take peace from the earth, and the Antichrist will break that covenant that he's had for 7-year covenant. He'll break that covenant at the midpoint and bring about distress. But read verses 5 and 6 quickly for us, Dr. Phelps. We want to talk about that before our time is over today.
And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, "Come and see." And behold, and lo, a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, "A measure of wheat for a penny, three measures of barley for a penny. And see, thou hurt not the oil and wine."
Ladies and gentlemen, that is indicating there dearth in the land and famine in the land and death as a result of it. Ladies and gentlemen, the only thing I can say in these closing moments is you need to know Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. Understand that after the rapture of the church, all of these devastating things are going to take place, and it's God saying, look at me, repent, 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 turn to me before it's everlastingly too late. Thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.